Good morning, my brothers and sisters. Prayer is such a great opportunity God has given to His children to grow spiritual life and to talk with Him. But most of the people, they are not having the proper understanding on prayer. Prayer is not a source to fulfill our selfish desires. Prayer is not a market list that we need to give to God. But prayer is a source to our spiritual life. Prayer is our breath to live in Christ. So today, we are going to see the great example of God-centered prayer. Please turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 7 to 9. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7 to 9. Let me briefly introduce the about book. The book of Proverbs is a part of wisdom literature. Wisdom is the key word of this book. It refers to skill in making sound decisions in life. This passage also helps us to make skillful decisions, sound decisions, in our prayer life. This is the only one prayer which occurs in the book of Proverbs. The writer of this chapter is Haggur, son of Jake. He was a great king and he was a great seeker of the wisdom. This morning, let's learn something from the student of wisdom in prayer. Look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7 to 9. Two things I asked of you. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, that I not be full and deny you and say, "Who is the Lord?" Or that I not be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. The theme of this passage is prayer must be God-centered. Prayer must be God-centered. Haggur was praying for the two things in verse 8. That is, keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. These two prayer requests are not self-centered. This is God-centered prayers. He is not asking for the luxurious life, happiest life, but he is asking for the God-centered motives. Haggur was being a king. He could have asked God, make me a great richest person in the world. But he didn't ask for that. He asked God, what are the things hindrance to God? Please give me take out me, is asking like that. So these two prayer requests are not self-centered but God-centered. Why? Because he wants to build relationship with God. He wants to grow closer with God. That's why he is asking for the relationship with God only. That's why the theme of this passage is prayer must be God-centered. Prayer must be God-centered. Let's look at two exemplary God-centered prayer requests that we can learn from. Two exemplary God-centered prayer requests. Why are these prayer requests are exemplary? Look in chapter 30. The whole chapter was Haggur's prayer. Look at verse 1. We can see one word, oracle. Oracle means burden. What is burden? Look at verse 7. Second part of the verse 7. Do not refuse me before I die. His burden and his strong desire is for the two things. Observe carefully the phrase, do not refuse me before I die. Some fathers and mothers will say to their children, I want to see you in good position before I die. We can understand from that statement of their strong desire and their strong burden from that statement. Agur asked only for two things, not more than that. Why? Because the two things are more important to him. Therefore, it should be important to us also as a scriptural model of prayer. The first exemplary prayer request that help us to be God-centered is integrity. See verse 7 to 8 in the chapter 30, verse 7 to 8. Two things I asked of you, do not refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. Here, Hagar's first request was, keep deception and lies far from me. Here, the words deception and lies, the constructed to the integrity. Integrity is impossible and sinful if these two things are present in life. The word deception is talking about the vanity or useless works. And the lies, it refers to the deceiving others. When we see in chapter 30 verse 8, the word far is interesting. Because that means in Hebrew word, that means mountain, hill. Hagar was praying that deception and lies would be kept as far as the mountain. Why? Because it's too far to get there. That's why he is asking God to keep the lies and deception far from me, as in the mountain, so that I may not be reached. If I want also, I may not be reached there. Keep afar. We are not only praying for the removal of sin, but for the removal of it at a great distance from us. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught prayer to his disciples, lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. Here we can understand that here we should not only pray for the sin, but we also pray for the temptations for that. If a man has a petrol bottle with him, he will certainly wish to keep a far distance from the fire. Likewise, we all have sinful natures. We need to keep distance from the sin or temptations. Otherwise, we may fall into temptations. Agur's strong desire is to keep himself far from the sins that would spoil his integrity towards God. What will happen if you lack of integrity? Integrity protects us two dangerous attitudes. Integrity protects us from the two dangerous attitudes. The first dangerous attitude is deceiving ourselves. Deceiving ourselves. Look at verse 8. First part. Keep deception. The word, Hebrew word, it means vanity, useless works. Hagar confesses his weaknesses. In this chapter, we can see 30 chapter 2, he confessed his weakness. Surely I am more stupid than any man, and I did not have the understanding of man. He has confessed his weaknesses, and he knows that about the God. He is almighty, he is all powerful. Verse 3 to 4. Even though he was a king, he understood human weaknesses. And he is not self-righteous, and he is not self-satisfied. He could say, he could say, I'm a king, I don't need anyone. Instead of, he understood his weaknesses, I should depend on God's word only. As a king, he is telling these words. That's why he understood weaknesses. That's why he is asking God for help to strengthen by him. Some Christians says like this, I am a Christian from the many years. I have completed reading the Bible few times. So there is no need of going to church every week. There is no need of reading the Bible again. They will deceiving themselves. They are becoming like self-righteous. But this view is wrong. The better way to grow in our spiritual life is to know our weaknesses and to depend on God. The Charles Spurgeon, who was known as the Prince of Preachers, said it like this. Self is the worst enemy a Christian has. If you want to live for Christ, if you want to live for Christ fully, you must need to die to self daily. You need to die to self your selfish desires. You need to die to self your selfish motives. Don't let anything that takes the God position in your life. You need to watch over yourself. Otherwise, you may fall into temptations and sins. Because we are weak. We should depend on God always. My dear brothers and sisters, know that you are weak. You need always depend on God to grow in your spiritual life. Don't compare with anyone and say, oh, I am better than that brother, I am better than this sister. Don't compare with anyone and be self-satisfied and self-deceive yourself. But ultimately you need to compare with our Lord Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect life for our sake. We need to grow into his likenesses, into his likeness. Integrity protects us from deceiving ourselves and also deceiving others. The second dangerous attitude is deceiving others. Look at verse 8. Keep deception and lies far from me. Here, Hebrew word lies speaks about deceptive things. When we lie, we are manipulating the lives of others. When we see, look at verse 5 to 6, the chapter 30, verse 5 to 6, we can understand that every word of God is tested. If we add anything to it will be proved a liar. Agur, as a king, he could command his people to whatever he wants to do. But he is not like that. Every time he always depend on God. He is not deceiving himself by I am a proud, I am a king, and becoming proud. But he understood, I must depend on God always. He wanted to depend on God always, even in the area of dealing with the people as a king. He is not deceived himself. It's very easy to fool people. There is a day called April's Fool's Day. On that day, people fool others by telling lies to them. It's easy to fool others, but it's hard to be honest with them. One of my cousin used to joke with me by telling lies. One day I was sitting on the floor, I am reading, one snake came to my room. Small one, that is poisonous also, small one came to my room. I did know that he saw and he shouted, "Snake, snake, snake." But I didn't believe in his word because of he always used to tell lies to joke with him. I didn't believe in his word. So that he went to call others. And that time, after two, three minutes, I just came to know that there is a snake really in front of me. So afterwards I said to him, "You are always cheat with me with the lies. So that's why I didn't believe in your word." It happens in our lives. If you are a liar, people lose trust in you. They don't believe you. Joseph's attitude is a good example to us. In Genesis chapter 39 verse 9, Joseph did not deceive himself by committing sin with Potiphar's wife. But he protected his integrity by saying, "How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" He know that God is watching. How can I deceive myself? He did not deceive himself by committing sin. And also, he did not deceive Potiphar, who given the authority over his household. He said, "There is no one greater this house than I. And he was withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife." Joseph protected his integrity towards God and with men. He protected his testimony with God and with men. What is your testimony in your family, at your workplace, with your neighbors? Does your wife and your, or your husband or your boss, they trust you? Do they believe you? Do they know that you are a Christian? My dear brothers and sisters, let your statement be yes to yes, no to no. Anything beyond this is of evil. Do you know, when you're sinning, you're not just sinning against others, but you are sinning against God. Joseph realized that truth. That's why Agur prayed for integrity in his heart. If he has integrity in his heart, then he will not deceive himself and he will not deceive others. What a wonderful prayer request. We must pray like this. The second exemplary prayer request is contentment. Look at verse 8, second part. Agur asked God for "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion." He was just asking for the daily bread. Not the riches, not the poverty. He wanted to be content with God, which God has given him. He doesn't want anything that takes the God's position in his life. How interesting. Being a king, he was asking just for the daily bread. Agur being a king, he was asking God to him, God to make me a person of contentment. Why? Because if you don't have contentment, several temptations will come. Two great temptations are caused by discontentment. Two great temptations are caused by discontentment. Being a rich is not bad. Being a poor is not bad. But don't let these two things make you discontent towards God and His provisions. The first temptation is poverty. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion. Look at verse 8. And not be full and deny, you say, who is the Lord, or that I not be in want and steal, and profane the name of my God. The phrase, feed me with the food that is my portion, is interesting. It means literally, give me the daily portion, daily food, so that I may not be die. He understood that food is for only surviving, but he did not surviving for the money and the food and the riches. Why? Because he know that his ultimate heaven in ultimate home in heaven, not on the earthly things. In Israel's history, they were suffered with the lack of, when they suffered with the lack of food and the lack of protection, they denied God. And they blamed the godly, leaders. So this is the one of the temptation that will result of the discontentment. Being a poor is not sin, but being lazy is sin. In some cases, poverty is due to the laziness of man. The Bible did not encourage lazy persons, those who are not work and be lazy. But Bible is warning such people to work for their needs. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man. God is so serious on laziness. Bible is not encouraging to be lazy, but we need to work for ourselves. My dear brothers and sisters, if your poverty is by your laziness, then you need to work hard to meet your needs. Don't blame God for your poverty. Don't let your poverty cause you not to be content in your life. Learn how to be content and responsible even in your poverty. I have a friend who was from the pure poor family. He is the only one son to his parents. His parents, out of their love, out of their hard labor, helped my friend to finish his engineering. But he is not willing to do any job that did not reach his expectations. He is at home only. He is at home and is not doing any work. He is becoming a burden to his family. that make their parents to more suffer more and more. If you have such tendencies, you must overcome with the God's grace. Don't be ashamed. Don't be lazy to do the job, to do any job that may not reach your expectations, but that glorifies God, and that to be responsible to provide your family, to provide yourself. God is not pleased with the irresponsibility lazy persons. If you lack of contentment, one more temptation will come. That one is riches. Look at verse 8. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, that I not be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Agur praying God, don't give me riches. Because he know that the temptation of having the more money and luxurious life. Most people are, they're never satisfied in gaining money. They always desire to have more and more and more. Having money is a not wrong. You can use it for the glory of God. But the love for money is wrong. That leads to the temptations. Bible also telling that. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 10. The love of money is the root of all evil. In Israel's history, when they had food, when they are happy, they worshipped idols instead of God. In fact, blessing often made them forget God. But there is an example in the Bible who experienced poverty and riches, but he learned how to be content with all situations, in all circumstances. Do you know that person's name? Yes. Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Apostle Paul, whatever things were gained to him, those things he has counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. Because Christ is his breath. He cannot live without Christ. Apostle Paul, when he went through the missionary journeys, he faced many problems. He faced many trials. So many times he beaten by the people. But he never gave up. His breath is Christ, to preach Christ always. Apostle Paul, he come from the rich family, but he did not live the luxurious life. He counted at a useless thing. In my state, most men go to Dubai, Muscat to earn money. In my village only, 80% men are in Dubai, Muscat. My father had also this offer. When he started doing ministry in my village. My neighbors forced him to go to the Dubai to earn money, because that time we were in a poor situation. But his strong commitment is to be faithful to family and to be faithful to church. and he started farming work. Even now also we are not rich, but God is providing all our needs. My father is so happy in serving the Lord now. He's so happy to be with the family and to serve the church faithfully. If could I have my father loved the money, if he went to the foreign countries, to Dubai, Muscat, we may not be happy. He may not be happy. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The greatest example of integrity and contentment is our Lord Jesus Christ. When we think Jesus' birth, he was born in a poor family. The creator of this universe, he born in a poor family. If he wanted to born, he can born in a world richest family. But he choose to born in poor family. He never lived a luxurious life. Instead, he worked and he suffered. What a great example Jesus Christ is given to us. We can never become perfect before God like Jesus Christ. That's why God sent his Son to earth to live perfect and holy life through cross. He given us the great hope and great joy of salvation. All that we must is to do is to have a deep longing desire to reflect his life through his word and by his spirit, which calls you to pray for and to live for life of integrity and contentment. This is the God-centered prayer. Agur, he prayed God-centeredly, not self-centeredly. He wants to build relationship with God. He wants to grow closer with God. That's why he prayed these two greatest prayer requests. The two greatest prayer requests are example to us even now. We must need to follow that prayer. We must need to pray in our daily lives to make me a person of integrity, to make me a person of contentment. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for men like Agur, who set a great example prayer before us. Lord, please help us to be focused on you, not on these fleshly things, not on these worldly things. Lord, please build us a relationship with you. Lord, take away everything that hinders you. Lord, please mold us, make us according to your will. Lord, please give us a heart to be, have integrity and to have contentment in our life, so that we may become like Christ and we may become, grow in our spiritual life. Lord, please make us, mold us according to your will. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.